What is up? Welcome back to 90th Minute Daily, where we preview each and every match coming up at the World Cup each day. It's Dan Riccio and Blake Price, and we are getting ready for a full day's matches. It's just getting the music back in my ear here, Michael. I don't know if that was supposed to happen. And actually, I think the YouTube stream is playing somewhere in the background here. So we'll get that sorted out. All right. Audio is down. And welcome to 90th Minute Daily. Blake, it's been a wild start at the World Cup. A lot of crazy stories. We'll get into the day's matches. The favorites of the tournament, Spain, are just getting started for their first match of the event. But let's quickly look at the weekend. How's it been in Vancouver? First match at BC Place was over the weekend.
Yeah, it was a raucous atmosphere here. It took a little while to get going. People were wondering, oh, Jesus, there's no pulse that the World Cup's coming, you know, a week ago. As soon as the curtain dropped on this thing, people have bought in fully. It was a wonderful atmosphere in and around the stadium for the Ruse win, and then even more so inside. The stadium looked fantastic. The pitch apparently played great. The grass holding up, the temporary grass surface there inside BC Play Stadium, and the Australians come away with a victory that, hey, some people might say they did deserve. Some people might say, hey, the domination of possession there for Turkey meant that they should have got the victory. But that was a fun match. I would say it's one of the top, you know, three or four matches that we've seen so far in the small sample size to date here at this World Cup. So an even game and a couple of great counters for Australia puts them into the driver's seat.
I will say I can appreciate a team that executes a game plan to perfection, and the Aussies did that against Turkey. Defending, they were great. You know, shots from 30 yards out aren't exactly going to score high on the expected goals models, but you know, they took their chances well when they had theirs.
That run by Urkunda, I mean, honestly, just spectacular. The Watford man helping the championship to get the early lead in terms of league contributions at this World Cup. The championship was at that point outscoring the Premier League 4-1. So Urkunda doing his part. I mean, those were two really nice goals. Again, those are probably their two best chances to score, but you have to be clinical. On this stage, in a tournament, you're only guaranteed three matches. Got to execute when you're given opportunities, and Australia did.
So looking at some of the surprises of the weekend, and you know, Australia beating Turkey was certainly one of those surprises. Turkey looked at with, you know, some of the air stars, their young stars, Arda Güler and Kenan Yıldız, as a team to watch, and they're off to a tough start. The Aussies weren't expected much of the Aussies, but obviously they got off to a great start in what was pretty much a home match at BC Place with everybody in Whistler at BC Place. I feel like, you know, there's no servers to be found in Whistler for a
lot
for
of lifties were down inside BC Place Stadium. Yeah.
Okay, so let's keep it moving. And you know, Netherlands and Japan was a really fun game. I thought, you know, Netherlands to me was as a surprise. I don't know about surprise, but they looked really gettable. And if I'm a Dutch fan today, I'm a little worried about where this team is trending. Not that you have to be great, but I didn't see a lot that I liked from either Netherlands or Brazil on the weekend. Those were my two surprises.
There's a handful of stalwart favorites, if you will, and lowercase f favorites that look a little ordinary coming into this tournament, and for the ones that have debuted, even that continues. And I think those two are in there. Belgium, we'll talk about Belgium, like teams that you're just not sure about that traditionally have had a chance to win this tournament, and now you don't know. And Japan, you know, they were a darling for some people going into this tournament. Could they make some noise? And hey, the Asian countries have had a good debut so far, with South Korea and Japan now getting points. You know, those are the kind of moments that you watch the World Cup for, a late tying marker like that from Japan. It's that's fun stuff. And some of the European nations have been put on notice. Our little reminder that more than just Europe plays the sport, and you've got to be careful. And then the Brazilians, I mean, you knew coming in that, you know, they have been critical. They've been criticized, pardon me, by star players in the past, that this is just not the same Brazilian program that they grew up in, that they played in, and they're going to have to outrun that now. They're going to have to be dominant in order to live down the reputation that their own players, their own ex-players have given them. And so they'll have a lot of eyes on them and a big hot spotlight, and they'll have to perform to outrun it.
Yeah, and you don't have to be the best. Like, you don't want to be the best version of yourself in match one of the tournament, but the group stage is big too. You know, winning a group stage matters a lot to solidify an easier path through the remainder of the tournament. We see it. It's a constant through many World Cup champions. Their path towards the final and their path to victory is, you know, often littered with, I wouldn't say minnows, but games they were heavily favored in, right? And so that's something that definitely helps when you're able to win your group. Was one of your surprises the way that the U.S. performed in their first match Friday night?
I have been following the U.S. a lot going into this World Cup. And, you know, if you're a Mexican or a Canadian fan, you're gleefully loving the turmoil, the coaching, you know, turmoil. He's maybe already signed for all we know, leaving the America program after the World Cup. But Pochettino had his team ready, and that might be the most dominant I have seen them. And I'm even talking CONCACAF matches against lesser lights than like that was as together and ready as the U.S. men's national team has looked in recent memory. And that's disappointing for Mexican and Canadian fans that might have enjoyed some schadenfreude of watching the U.S. go down early in this tournament. Not the case. They serve notice. They are ready to roll here. And who knows? They may have just been late coming together, late gelling. But remember, this is a team that, you know, has been trounced recently in the last 6 months by Switzerland and Belgium. And, you know, they did not look great on the world stage. Well, they showed themselves ready in their World Cup debut.
Yeah, not against an easy opponent. I know people are making or throwing shade at Paraguay, but they had a really good defensive record coming through qualifying, and the U.S. made them look like they've never defended in their lives. So it wasn't just luck that they built that lead. They were full value for that win, their best performance under Mauricio Pochettino, and we'll see how it goes moving forward. But let's start to dial into some of these matches for today, as one is already underway. Welcome to the chat, those that are jumping in now a few minutes after noon. We are here every single day at 12 o'clock to preview the day's matches at the World Cup, and today we start with Spain as they take on Cape Verde, Cabo Verde. I think both do apply, but the Spaniards, much like the Germans over the weekend, getting an easy start to the tournament, but it's always fun to see a team make their debut at an event like this, and it should be interesting to see what we get out of Spain today.
Well, I think Germany helped them out a little bit by suffering that mild scare at 1-1 with Curaçao and Germany. I think Spain, it probably got a talking to of, okay, we're not doing that. All right. We're not going to be tied with Cape Verde after 30 minutes. You know, let's not go down that road. Let's assert our will. And, you know, it's a fun Spanish team, obviously wanting to prove that they are still in their heyday here following the 24 Euros. And, you know, they've got youth being served with the likes of Lamine Yamal and others, but they've got experience with Ballon d'Or guys like Rodri as well. They've got it all covered. There's no reason why Spain can't be World Cup winners this time around. And they get a little bit of we'll let them play the game, but you know, this is a likely a training match for them to just whet their appetite a little bit here in this 26th edition of the tournament.
It is currently 0-0 in that match, but still very early going. Lamine Yamal not a part of the starting 11, though De La Fuente did claim him to be fit and ready to go in perfect condition yesterday, even though Yamal is not starting for Spain today. Another player to watch for them, obviously Pedri. You know, both Pedri and Yamal are kind of the next great ones for this Spanish team. But, you know, they're littered with incredible players. Cucurella is looking at a $60 million move to Real Madrid right now, as that news was breaking earlier today. The Spanish team, they are the ones, or among the ones, to beat. And I would say Pedri is going to be a big part of that in midfield alongside Rodri, the steadying presence in the center of the park for the Spaniards. Now, moving on to the next match, as this one is already gotten going. And Belgium-Egypt is an interesting one. Egypt has never won a match at the World Cup. I believe this is their fourth appearance for the Pharaohs. And then you've got Belgium, who were disappointments in 2022. Probably should have lost to Canada, a match that will forever live in my brain rent-free, Blake. the last World Cup. But they didn't make it out of the group anyhow. And it feels like maybe that was potentially the reset point. You still have some of the old guard for Belgium, but they're unbeaten in their last 13 matches. They've got Jeremy Doku. They've got some impressive players, some impressive talents, even if they aren't household names as the golden generation of Belgians were through these last few cycles. It's starting to be, a new Belgian side. And I wonder if they can, I wouldn't say surprise in this tournament, but I feel like they're being overlooked a little bit because they just don't have the same cachet as they have in recent tournaments.
Lukaku's 33, Trossard is 31. Doku is a fabulous offensive contributor, but he's not a bag man per se.
Yeah.
Only a handful of goals for Man City. So he's going to have to develop some chemistry with somebody up top. And so that's going to be my question, is ultimately who's scoring goals for Belgium. Maybe one of the older guys, turns back the clock a little bit for them. But hey, we saw that versus Canada 4 years ago, right? Like they struggled to score goals against Canada. So until the late stages of that match. So we'll see. They want to try to have as effortless a turn of the page as they can, but they're not doing it the same. We just talked about Spain, who have had a nice mix of young and old. They don't have as strong a youth contingent bringing up the rear here in Belgium. So they should be able to get this win. They're a deeper team still, as much as we question them. They are a deeper team than Egypt, so this shouldn't be a problem. But until they do it, I want to see it happen.
Yeah, it's kind of the way you always look at it in these matches where, Belgium's the heavy favorite. We know that. But we saw this a little bit with Australia over Turkey on the weekend, and that is, Egypt does still have Mohamed Salah celebrating his 34th birthday today, and Marmoush is their top striker as well, so not no slouch there. You make any sort of mistake, you allow a big-time counterattack. All it takes is one moment in these short tournaments that can flip things on their head, and Egypt, as much as Salah maybe isn't the player he has been in the past, we know he can still get the job done. And I'm curious to see what we see out of Egypt today, not just for what it means in this match, but also what it could mean in this group.
We are not far removed from very good Mo Salah seasons, so like yes. he does not have to turn the clock back that far in order to find a premier contribution, and especially in a debut match. I mean, you haven't been run down yet. You're in good shape. You're like rightfully rested. Just a couple little tune-up games. Like this would be the match where a guy like Salah could look like the useful one. Third match, group stage. Maybe you're feeling a little worn down. This is the one where maybe they have enough spunk left in them that they can rise up here against Belgium.
So we'll see. This one is the second match of the day, and moving forward in the afternoon, you've got Uruguay as they get their campaign started. And, the Uruguayans, always interesting. They haven't had as many tune-ups. Marcelo Bielsa choosing not to get the tune-up matches going in the same way that other teams have in the lead-up to this tournament. So we don't know exactly what we are getting. But speaking of turning over a roster, no Edinson Cavani or Luis Suarez for the Uruguayans in this tournament as they take on Saudi Arabia for their opening match. And I guess everybody's going to be wondering, can the Saudis somehow pull off another incredible upset in the same way that they did 4 years ago when they started the Qatar tournament with a win over the eventual champions, Argentina?
Yeah, and that's proof that sometimes the group stage can you can have one speed wobble. You're allowed one, and Argentina proved that last time out. But yeah, the upset is going to be there, and the belief, therefore, will be there for Saudi as well. But Uruguay's got the class. They're playing fairly good of late, and I think they're going to, you know, the expectation is they'll press and they'll be athletic up top and try to force the turnovers, chase the ball down, and assert their will. So, I mean, still 16th ranked. You know, people in North America may lose track of Uruguay under the shadows of Brazil and Argentina, but you know, this is still one of the top teams in the world. This shouldn't be a close match, a close call for Uruguay, but we got proven otherwise 4 years ago, so we'll see.
Shout out to Martin Cáceres, who is still playing. He outlasted Luis Suarez and Edinson Cavani on this Uruguay team, and a player. I watched him play a lot of matches for Juventus, but that was probably a decade ago now, and I'm just surprised that he's still on the Uruguay national team at this stage of his career, 39 years old. And it's, again, just that theme. There's always like a player you see that is just, he's still playing, like Ener Valencia with Ecuador. It's like, oh yeah, that guy's, he's still around. He's still going. Okay. That's Martin Cáceres for me with, for Uruguay. And the final match of the day will be Iran against New Zealand. Iran 20th ranked against New Zealand. The Kiwis are the lowest ranked team at this World Cup. So again, another team looking for their first win at this major tournament. But the Kiwis are in tough against an Iran side that, as we know, geopolitical situations have overshadowed Iran's inclusion in this tournament. But they've been qualified since last March, and a team not to overlook too much, as we know with how good they can be.
And you wonder how much the, you know, staff members have been denied entry into the World Cup. You wonder how much that just spurs on the players wanting to, you know, play for those staff members that haven't been allowed to travel. You wonder how much is that ranking inflated. I'm curious. We don't see a ton of Iran football. I wonder how good they are. New Zealand is okay, you know, they're fine. We saw them in Canada playing in that Canadian Shield tournament last June. You know, they've got a mix of young and old, particularly on the back line. Finn Sermon and Michael Boxall at other ends of the spectrum for them. I think it could be a competitive game, right? In terms of, some of the minnows of this tournament, have they been dealt some tough blows, taken on the likes of Germany and Spain? Yes. But, you know, this is one that, I don't know. I think that New Zealand has a chance to hang around. I don't know if they can really truly win this match, but hang around, maybe steal a draw. I think it could be possible.
You never know what could happen in these matches. Mehdi Taremi, the player to watch on the Iranian side, he's usually the finisher, even though he is also getting up there in age, but definitely a player to watch for that one. It's the latest game of the day. It's a 9 o'clock start for that one between Iran and New Zealand. Still goalless in the Spain versus Cape Verde match. Now into the 20th minute, so shouts to Cape Verde for keeping Spain off the score sheet for the time being. The big game last night, late on in the night and early into the morning for us here on the East Coast, Blake, Sweden beating Tunisia 5-1. And it was a dreadful performance from the Tunisians, a team that everybody knew coming in. Okay, they're going to be tough to break down. They played Canada recently. That's the book on Tunisia is they should, at the very least, defend pretty well. They didn't do that. Their goalkeeper was very poor, might I say, as well. Watching that match and doing the recap for Rabona TV. It was crazy to see that big of an upset. Nobody expecting that out of Sweden. And then this morning we find out that Sabri Lamouchi, the manager for Tunisia, recently appointed manager for Tunisia, had been sacked after one match at the World Cup. Can be a fickle game, can it, Blake?
Yeah, it's not a good look for the Federation either, though, for them to make such a rash decision.
First firing at a World Cup since 98, when there was like three in quick succession at the 98 World Cup.
That's just bizarre. I mean, it lends itself to make you think that, like, there's not great leadership there in the whole program, never mind on the pitch. So, I mean, we'll see if they even have another good moment the rest of this tournament, much less get a win or a point here. But we saw them draw Canada 0-0 back in March, and that was like, it wasn't officially a Canada B side, but it effectively played out. There's a bunch of players that started that match for Canada that are not on this World Cup roster. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty close to the World Cup roster for Tunisia. So that gives you, I think, a lowdown on sort of where they are at. The other interesting part of that match was, of course, they used the Snicko technology, the chip in the ball, to determine whether or not a player was offside. So a little bit of technology being shown at the forefront there, which in that match, it didn't matter. It was the fourth goal in the 5-1 win. But it reminds you that decisions could be made using technology going forward when the games get a little bit more competitive, get more important, that it is lurking back there and could rear its head.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy to see that whole thing play out. You know, they initially called it no goal, and then they go to review and they notice, oh, there's a touch from Alexander Isak that plays Svanberg onside, and they changed the ruling. The Swedish players couldn't hear it at first, so there was a delayed second celebration for it all.
It was a little messy.
Yeah, it was a little messy. And another cool moment in that match, Yassine Ayari, who ended up scoring twice and does have Tunisian heritage, he scored the first goal of the match, an absolute banger from outside the box, and he chose not to celebrate. Just one of those cool World Cup stories where an honor to his parents and his heritage, he chose not to celebrate against Tunisia.
And he's not the only player that will face that in this tournament. Yeah. I saw an article being written about this, about the diaspora of players here that, you know, there's so many that have dual or even triple eligibility.
Morocco did not have a player that was born in Morocco and they're starting 11. First time that's ever happened in the World Cup.
Yeah. So it's pretty unique. I think there will be some mixed feelings like that throughout this tournament for players.
So a cool moment there. Now, this story, I'm not sure if it's something to keep an eye on, but here in Canada, obviously, we're with a hyper-focus on Alphonso Davies. And I guess the gist is he hasn't yet been ruled out of potentially playing some minutes against Qatar when Canada gets back on the field Thursday in that game, their second match of the tournament. We've seen Davies doing some fun stuff around Vancouver, obviously played for the Whitecaps, and he's finding people wearing his jersey around town. So Davies is having fun with the whole process. But I'd say as much as he hasn't been ruled out yet for the second match, I would say it's still unlikely we see Alphonso Davies for Canada.
Well, it's a matter of need too, right? They'll have to see how that – he's not starting for sure. And so then you watch the match and decide how much you need him tactically and how much he might need just to test it and go for a run with 5 minutes left to play or something. You know, he's amongst the better players in the tournament that has question marks around him. And we talked about Lamine Yamal earlier. Yeah, similar for him. We'll see if he comes off the bench ultimately. Will he be needed? No, he won't be needed. Lamine Yamal won't be needed today either. But do they want him to have a 5 or 10 minute run at the end of the match? We'll see. And I think the same thing goes for Alphonso Davies in Canada. They hope that they Qatar played decently. So they want to make sure they get the 3 points most certainly. So if they find themselves in a tied scenario late, do they bring him on? Potentially. But if they can avoid that tactically and have a lead and not need him and save him fully for Switzerland, then I think that's something that they have to look to. It'll be strange then let's go down the road that Canada gets the 3 points versus Qatar. What do you do with Alphonso Davies versus Switzerland? You've had an extra 6 days then of rest. Do you start him and play him 45? Do you have him come off the bench at the at halftime? I mean, there's a bunch of question marks around Alphonso Davies and what he can ultimately give to this Canadian team. But he's not done much on the training pitch. So until we've seen him training at any sort of level with the ball in his feet, I think there's going to be doubters as to whether or not he's truly available for Canada.
Yeah, and that Group B situation with all four teams having 1 point through the first match makes it pretty fascinating moving forward. Maybe the most intriguing group moving forward. My Canadian bias very much showing right now. But the Qatar... The second match for Canada now against Qatar is I mean, it always was a must win, but it's even more so a must win, given that Switzerland is the finale for Canada in this tournament.
Yeah, it's and that Swiss game would be such a fun match for the home fans in Vancouver if it is for the group. We thought we penciled it in for the group at the outset of this tournament, but we didn't know that all this would transpire ahead of it. So who knows what's going to happen, but game two of the group, I'm sure, will clarify some things.
We've got lots to get to today. Spain is already playing, so we're going to get off to watching the day's matches. We'll be back here tomorrow at noon on the 90th Minute channel. So subscribe, like the channel. Also hit that little bell button so you get the notifications for when we do go live. And also follow along with game recaps at Rabona TV, where myself and Adrian are providing game recaps for each of the games every single day. We'll see you here tomorrow at noon. Thanks for joining the live stream. If you enjoy this content, make sure to smash the like button. Also subscribe and get those notifications going so that way you never miss anything on the 90th Minute YouTube channel.